going to blow out the Packers. And it's still like that for me. But a lot of people are starting to say, hey, Packers are that hot team. And we do this every year, right? Because somebody's got to win the wild card game. And whoever wins the wild card game then gets the momentum headed into play the team that didn't have to play the wild card game because they've been better than those teams all season long. And we are joined by our guy, friend of the station, Brad Graham of SF Niners, YouTube, Twitter. It's everywhere you need it. Social media, Instagram, everywhere you need it. Brad's got it. Brad, thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited about seeing this red-hot Packers team come into Levi's Stadium. I don't know if you guys saw it. Nick Wagner put out of ESPN that it's about 97% projected 49er fans. Hey, you know 49er fans, get up for this team. And I'm really excited to see how the Packers hold up against the red and gold faithful.
Yeah, you know, before we even get to the X's and O's, and I know you might not be too objective here, but even starting off from the beginning of the season with the Steelers, that's Pittsburgh, that's blue collar, we are a football town, the Niners take over everywhere they go. Are they kind of low-key the strongest fan base in the NFL?
Oh, I think so, 100%. I mean, I went to the Rams game week two at SoFi Stadium, or better known by the fan base as Levi's South.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It had to be 90% 49er fans. And I've been kind of talking about this on my channels and stuff like this, but it's like, I think we are having a momentum shift. You know, we understand the Cowboys are considered the America's team, but right. I mean, when you look at the 49er faithful and how broad they are, nationally, even worldwide, you go back to last year's game in Mexico City, 49er fans are everywhere. Hey, maybe, you know, the Cowboys can hold on to that moniker, but if the 49ers win a Super Bowl, I think we might have to have a conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. And they, like you said, even, I mean, Cowboys, like last year in the playoffs, when they showed up at Jerry World, it was insane. And yeah, I mean, the Niners definitely have a massive fan base, but Packers definitely do too. And that's why definitely that Wagner tweet out yesterday was just crazy to see. Another thing that I was really surprised to see yesterday come out, Trent Williams saying he's 100% coming back for next year. What were your thoughts on that? Did that surprise you, just mainly the timing of it for him to come out early and say, doesn't really matter if we win a Super Bowl or not this year, he's coming back. How good is that to hear, and how surprising was that?
I mean, for me personally, as a former offensive lineman and an O-line connoisseur, Trent Williams to me is the best offensive lineman to ever play. And the fact that he plays for the San Francisco 49ers is just another added element to it. And I would be lying to you if I said I didn't have any doubt about him returning next year. I do think there was some questions, especially with how he ended his press conference after last season, kind of bringing it up like, I'm getting to that age where maybe retirement is something that you start to think about. The fact that he squashed that, put that to bed, said he's 100% returning next year, regardless if the 49ers win the ultimate prize or they fall short, he will be back next season. And that is absolutely huge because, like I said, not only is he the best offensive lineman playing in the NFL today, I think he's the best offensive lineman to ever play. Just how he is changing the game from a technical aspect of playing O-line like a defensive lineman, using games with his hands, manipulating defenders by baiting them into certain things. It's phenomenal. We already know he's athletically superior over every other offensive lineman, but he's the smartest offensive lineman on top of that. So the fact that he's returning next year, huge sigh of relief for me, and I'm sure many 49er fans when they heard that as well.
Talking to Brad Graham of the SF Niners. Find him on YouTube. Find him on X, Twitter, social media, Instagram, everywhere to get your Niners needs. Great content. One of the biggest Niners platforms going right now. All right, we gave you enough time, Brad. It's time to have the conversation. We know you can't go more than, 5 minutes without talking about Brock Purdy. We're hearing some crazy talk. And look, Brad, I know we follow each other on social media. You know, where I stand with Brock is I do feel like some of the Niner fans are holding on to this underdog thing for a little bit too long. Brock got his respect. He was an MVP candidate for a little bit here. And I get on Niner fans because everybody just loves to be the underdog. But then I see what people are saying, from Packer fans to Amy Trask, and just not giving Brock his flowers. And I got to walk it back, and I got to apologize to Niner fans to say, all right, maybe there's still some people out there. And I'm not counting the Nick Wrights of the world, but maybe right. There are some people still out there not realizing what Brock is doing and what he brings to the table. Where would you can either rank him amongst the other QBs or just give us your take on Brock Purdy heading in to his second playoff run?
I think what Brock Purdy has done in basically a season and a half has been absolutely remarkable. And I don't think there's any discrediting what Brock Purdy has done. Now, if you're looking at this from an outside perception, mm-hmm. I can totally understand if you're not watching every single play of Brock Purdy and you look at the weapons that he has, the right. George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, like, you can make that assumption. Well, it's like, oh, he's playing with Kyle Shanahan. He's getting a lot of help. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, if I speak for myself, who is someone who studies the tape, I've watched every single play of Brock mm-hmm. Purdy throughout his career. He does the small things so exceptionally well that it almost gets glossed over. You talk about his presence in the pocket, his ability to sidestep pressure, create enough space and find a passing lane, and also manipulate coverages with his eyes. Brock Purdy does all the small things to elevate the offense and elevate the players around him. I mean, look at Brandon Ayuk. He is a second team All-Pro player, and almost reached 1,400 receiving yards this season. What a remarkable feat in an offense that has all of those players and is one of the lowest ranked passing attempt, per game offenses in the league. And so I understand from an outside perspective, but I think if you actually watch Brock play, I think it's easy to put him in that top 10 category. I think when you look at everything he's been able to do, the way he escapes pressure, the way he reads defenses pre and post. I mean, you look at that one play against the Commanders where he's scrambling out. He's pointing to Brandon Ayuk in the back of the end zone, and he hits him on a dime. You can't look at those things and say that's a system quarterback. He's making plays outside of structure consistently, but he's also playing within structure at an extremely high level. So I can understand the outside perspective. We heard from that Green Bay's Packer defender, oh, well, if you get pressure on Brock Purdy, guaranteed to get an interception. Well, Brock Purdy happens to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year when pressured. So if you watch the tape, and again, I would imagine he's watched some tape and he's looked at it, but if you're studying this thing and you're really watching Brock play, he is a baller. And not only is he a baller, but he's elevating his players, he's elevating the scheme, and it's a perfect fit for what Kyle Shanahan requires of his scheme. And that's why it's just a match made in heaven right now.
Brad, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Kyle Shanahan there, and I'm sorry I have to ask this question, but I feel like I do. Kyle's got this history that's followed him of really just overthinking game plans, more so in the bigger games. I don't think it's really a concern for a week like this or maybe even next week, but I mean, more specifically in the big one, Kyle's kind of gotten a bad rap of maybe over game planning or overthinking the game plan. Do you still think Kyle has that in him, or has he gone through enough now to where even he understands, like, you can maybe put too much work into this?
I think before Brock Purdy was around, I think Kyle was trying to overcompensate for maybe his previous quarterbacks, maybe lack of ability to do certain things within his scheme.
Sure.
And so it would kind of force him to press a little bit on the offensive side of the ball. But I really do think that Kyle has evolved this season. And I do think in part due to having a quarterback that he fully trusts. And I think that combination is allowing him to be more aggressive. I think we've seen him go for it on fourth down on more occasions this season than in years past. And I think he's putting the ball in his quarterback's hands to be able to make the decisions on the field. And I think that's allowing Kyle to call games more freely and be able to handle situations a little bit more organically, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. opposed to being so rigid in certain beliefs and certain yeah. down and distances and what have you, I think there's a freedom that having a quarterback like Brock and obviously a supporting cast that allows him to be more creative and be more aggressive. And I do think that he has made big steps forward this season and certain down and distances and the way he's calling certain things. So I understand definitely how he's handled some situations in the past, but I do feel like we have seen an evolution to Kyle this year. And I think that's been one of my favorite developments of this season.
Yeah, I think a couple players have talked about the growth of Kyle Shanahan as a head coach and how he's been handling the team. So it's just growth all around, which is good for the Niners. Talking to Brad Graham of the SF Niners, find him on YouTube, subscribe to him, follow him. If you're not doing that and you're a Niners fan, I don't know what exactly it is you are doing. All right, Brad, let's get to the Packers side of things. Obviously, you know, I think the line is still 8. I don't think it's moved anymore. It was 9.5 when they finished off the Cowboys, even though Kyle Shanahan was already preparing in the second quarter. What about the Packers does worry you when it comes to them facing off against the Niners?
I think if we have to discuss what potentially worries me, mm-hmm. I think you have to look at the fact that they have a pretty dynamic quarterback right now in yeah. Jordan Love. Mm. And, you know, as we've seen, even this year, you saw what Joe Burrow did to the San Francisco 49ers defense, his ability to escape the pocket and make throws outside of structure or buying just extra time. Mm-hmm. I think if you've been a 49er fan for a while, you're kind of you have this predetermined notion that mobile quarterbacks are kind of like our Achilles heel
yeah.
based on how the past yeah. has gone. And so when you look at a guy like Jordan Love, who has all the arm talent in the world, he has the ability to do things that, like, let's say a Brock Purdy can't do just simply because Jordan has phenomenal arm talent.
Yeah, Brad, some of those throws, it looked like he was studying Aaron Rodgers' yeah. tape. I mean, the flat-footed, he yeah. thought he was supposed to do stuff like that. Uh-huh.
He did like a 180 hip flip yeah. midair,
crazy.
Dime 30 yards downfield up the seam. I'm like, who is this guy?
Right.
So those are the things I think that would worry me mm-hmm. is that we understand that if the 49ers defensive line isn't generating pressure within those first 2 seconds, that's where other quarterbacks with immense arm talent can find some holes within our defense. Yeah. So that's really the only concern, but that puts a huge emphasis on your Nick Bosa's, Javon Hargrave. They get Eric Armstead back, right. which is such a huge get for that defensive line. And Chase Young, if you can create pressure rushing 4 on Jordan Love, I think that is going to be a huge emphasis on how you can slow down this offense. Because when we saw them against the Cowboys, I mean, Love was playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
The offense was playing great. Aaron Jones was feeding off of it with his 3 touchdowns. And when they get into that rhythm, that's where teams can be dangerous. And I think where the 49ers need to insert. That rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to get after Jordan Love and move him off his spot, mess up his timing and all those different types of things.
Right, yeah. We're talking with Brad Graham of the SF Niners. Brad, on top of the Jordan Love conversation there, I know Alan kind of asked you a little bit about it, but I'm gonna make you give the list. You can leave Brock out of it, but just the other NFC quarterbacks, I mean, where would you rank them right now with Goff, Mayfield, and Jordan Love? Do you feel like the Niners are playing the best quarterback in the NFC not named Brock Purdy right now?
I think Baker Mayfield has been playing phenomenal ball this yeah. year.
Absolutely.
But I do think that if you have Jared Goff in a clean pocket in front of his, you know, probably the best offensive line in football, he can make you pay. And I'm a Cal fan, so I watched yeah. all of Jared Goff's career. I know who Jared Goff is and I know how deadly he can be, but I also know you can affect him with pressure. So then you kind of translate that into Jordan Love. Jordan Love's kind of an unknown in a sense. Like I'm still kind of scouting him and still trying to learn his tendencies. And so I would say it might have to be, it's really close, Goff, Love, yeah. Baker. But just because I know more about Goff than and Love, this is his first season. They're playing with house money. They have nothing to lose. They're super hot right now. It'll be interesting to see what happens when he has Nick Bosa breathing down his neck and see how he reacts in these situations. This is going to be he passed the test against the Cowboys. Now, let's see if he can do it against the 49ers.
Talking to Brad Graham of the SF Niners. Subscribe to his YouTube. Follow him on social media. Brad, from the beginning of the season, I think a lot of us thought that this Niners team was fully loaded, right? Offensive, defensive. The problem here now, and it's not just Moody, the special teams, it reminds me of that meme. I don't know if you've seen it, with the three dragons and the two dragons look like they know what they're doing, and the third dragon is kind of looking off into the other direction. How worried are you about the special teams of the San Francisco 49ers?
That is a phenomenal visual. I know exactly what you're talking about. I think you might have hit it on the head. I think, you know, when you look at Moody's year as a whole, I think you can say he played pretty well. You look at the Browns game, and then you look at that last game against the Rams, and that's kind of why we're all kind of concerned about Jake Moody's, because he missed a field goal and missed a PAT directly after. And I think our concerns with Jake Moody heading into the season were never ability-based. Mm-hmm. It was kind of confidence-based.
Right.
And I think when you look at the kicker position, I mean, you look at pressure-packed situations, whether it's quarterback, whether it's a kicker. Kicker's up there, man, because they get put in those situations where they got one job, and it's to kick a field goal and make points for your team, and half the time it comes in big time situations. So is there a level of concern there? Yes, but I do think, again, if your 49ers offense is doing what we think they should do against this Packers defense, I don't think Moody will have to be put into those situations where we necessarily have to rely on him. But we know what it is. It's the playoffs. Any given Sunday, anything can happen. And who knows if this game comes down to a 45-yard field goal to tie or win it. I know 49er fans are going to be sweating, but I do believe that Jake Moody has the ability. It's just, can he lock in for that moment and get the job done?
Yeah, Brad, last week we were talking about, the departure of Adam Peters and just kind of how it's another name added to the list of really important Niner personnel that have left, whether it be Robert Sala, D'Amico Ryans, you have Rand Carthon even, and McDaniel over in Miami. How much does the Adam Peters departure worry you, and how much more, you know, vulturing really can the Niners take?
I had great respect for Adam Peters as the assistant general manager for the 49ers and what he's done, because from my understanding of his role within the organization was big emphasis in the draft and really being able to identify and hit on late round draft prospects. I mean, you look at Talanoa Hufanga, fifth round pick, turning into an all pro. George Kittle, Dre Greenlaw, you can throw Brock Purdy into that mix. I mean, Fred Warner is the best linebacker in the NFL, and he's a former third-round draft pick. The 49ers have found a ton of success, not only in the late round of the draft, but in free agency, man. Like, you look at Emmanuel Mosley and what they were able to get out of him with his time with the San Francisco 49ers, being able to hit on guys like Elijah Mitchell, who is a really good back when healthy and available, Jordan Mason, et cetera. And the list goes on and on, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how the 49ers overcome that. But I do believe organizationally they're structured properly to be able to have someone waiting in the wings to kind of take over that role. And from everything that I've learned and have heard about the inner workings of that part of the organization, they're very collaborative. So I'm going to miss Adam Peters and what he brought to this franchise, but I also do believe because of the collaborative structure, they'll be able to pick up the pieces and they'll be able to continue the similar thought processes and evaluations and key points that he was able to hit on and they will continue that process moving forward.
Brad Graham of the SF Niners. If you're not following him on all the social media platforms and YouTube, you are not doing your fandom right. Brad, before we get you out of here, we do something for the Kings. It's called Dog of the Game, right? And it's where we pick whoever we think is going to be a dog in that game. So we're going to do a SF Niners version, a San Francisco Niners version. Who do you think is going to ball out on Sunday? You can pick anybody.
Saturday.
Or Saturday. You can pick anybody for their dog of the game. Who do you got for the Niners?
Well, as I'm looking at the Packers' 28th ranked rush defense, I'm going to have to go with one of the biggest dogs on the San Francisco 49ers, and that's Christian McCaffrey, man. You get a healthy Christian McCaffrey who hasn't taken a hit in almost a month. Get some fresh legs in there, and I mean, I can see him right over your right shoulder there if you're watching on YouTube.
That's right. That's right.
I think CMC is going to be that dog, right? Like, he's going to be that guy that the 49ers are going to be able to lean on in this game. The weather might be a factor, and if that is the case, put the ball in CMC's hands and let the dogs eat.
There you go. Love Brad Graham of the SF Niners. Brad, thank you so much. Let's do this again, man. This is great. Like I said, follow Brad Graham on all social media platforms. If you're not following him, subscribe to him on YouTube. You better figure it out and do it right now. Brad Graham, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again. Have a good rest of your week.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
all right.
Brad.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will not only rank the NFC quarterbacks, we will rank the AFC quarterbacks. And a little bit later in the show, we'll get back into some Kings talk as they get ready to take on the Pacers. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Thank you again to Brad Graham of the SF Niners for hanging with us for about 30 minutes there. We will have it posted on YouTube if you want to check that out. If you missed it, if you were driving, if you were dropping the kiddos off, if you were grocery shop, and we will have that posted on YouTube to hear that segment. It was great stuff. It'll probably be reused in the Drive Guys and the morning show.
Probably.
Great stuff
maybe
from Brad.
Maybe on ESPN.
Maybe that as well. Great stuff from Brad. Like I said, go on, make sure you subscribe to his YouTube channel and reach out and connect with him on social media. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, about to rank the quarterbacks here. But before we do that, 916-339-1140, JR wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, JR? What you got for us?
What's up, ladies? How are you?
Fantastic.
How you guys doing today?
Great.
Great segment. I was in a big billion-dollar deal, but I was listening at the same time. I would not waste my time shopping or whatever you just referenced.
Appreciate it.
I'll tell you right now, Brad's the real deal. He brings content. I think I've said this before. What a great segment that is.
Good stuff.
Incredible.
Yeah.
No, he's great.
It is. And hey, guess what? Niners are America's team. It was voted on earlier this month. I think there was at least 12, 15 votes, and it was proven that 100% we are now America's team. So, Cowboys, you can go ahead and go south to Mexico City or something, because we are America's team. And then your analogy, though, dude, with the three dragon meme.
Right.
Defense all dead on. It made us all laugh out loud down here downtown. I spit my coffee at him. I'm like, that is exactly it. And if Moody wants to help me out, just shave the damn mustache at least. So I feel confident when he kicks it, it's going to actually go through the friggin' uprights. And yes, he has great stats, but God, he hit on the head. We're all going to be sweating bullets.
Yeah.
If by any chance, and I don't, you know, everyone's pointing to it. I don't know if it happens this game, but boy, he's not our boy that just left, our Chicago kid.
Yeah, no.
Jimmy. He's not Jimmy. He's not Ofer Kofer. If you're a real fan, you know, you knew Norton back in the day. So he's just not one of the kickers that I love going into the playoffs. But feel pretty confident. I'm buying my NFC Championship tickets right now. So
you should.
That's how confident I am. That's what I should do, huh, wet blanket?
You definitely
you
should.
You want to come with me? I don't sit among the common people. I sit up top and look down.
We're more Super Bowl guys. We'll go if they go to the Super Bowl. But, NFC, you've been there, done that, you know?
And guess what? Super Bowl would be in Vegas. You might as well mark the calendar. That's the last day of the world. The world ends when they have the Super Bowl in Vegas. We are all, as a human race, in trouble.
It's going to be
you guys rock. See ya, girls.
Thanks, JR.
Thanks, JR. Yeah.
The Moody thing does kind of give me, I'm sorry, Niner fans, it does give me a little bit of vibes of Kings free throws this year, offensive rebounding issues for the Kings last year, where it's one of those things that shows up in the regular season and you just hope that's not how you die, man. You really hope that's not the death.
I don't think it will
be. It could be, though. It really could be.
You know what? If you're a Niner fan, I would be hoping that the Niners get an early touchdown. I would rather him kick an extra point first before a field goal.
I agree.
Oh, yeah,
and you kind of warm up into it. You get your extra point. And then you're rock and rolling. He's got to make it, but...
That is a great analogy. He did miss one against the Rams, too. That is a good analogy. The only thing I'd say is that the free throws are on the entire team, not just one dude. You see all that pressure on one dude, and you get scared.
Yeah, no, I more just mean like it's a foreshadowing moment where it's like you see the Kings miss all these free throws, and it's like one day, even though you guys are getting wins, one day this is going to come back and bite you, and... Last year, that Knicks game, the Knicks got like 20 offensive rebounds, but the Kings still win the game. And it's like, still seems a little bit concerning that we just allowed 20 offensive rebounds. And it's just like, you know, it's great that we got through the season. Moody looked great. He had some moments at the end of the year where looking a little shaky. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, even coming from a alleged hater here, like it would be really sad if that's what ends up ruining what is a pretty perfect Niner team.
Well, let's talk about it then, right? I mean, we talked about Adam Peters, we talked about John Lynch and all the good work they've done throughout the draft. What do you think possessed them? And I know Jake Moody was dead red at Michigan, but we saw this thing. Can't forget our guy in Florida State, Aguayo.
Right.
Right. Yeah. He was picked even higher. Yeah. Right. And I don't know how long he even ended up in the league.
I don't think a year.
So what possessed them to think that this was the right move to be set up all throughout the rest of your roster? Okay, and even, you know, Brock Purdy, you had seen a sample size and you felt like it was enough to move forward with him. And you still had a bit of an emergency backup plan.
You sure did.
With Sam Darnold. So what do you think was their thought process? And Trey Lance. What do you think was their thought process when it comes to we are a Super Bowl-ready team? I don't know how many people looked this up. A Super Bowl-winning team with a rookie kicker.
Maybe Nate can give more perspective on that. I mean, my guess would just be, and it doesn't really make sense even, it's just kind of the same risk as running Brock Purdy out. I mean, even then, I guess it's more of a risk even, but it's just, you know, when you're in, it's weird because kickers aren't getting bagged out or anything. Mm-hmm. Even Robbie Gould at 40 is not going to get bagged out. So you can't really say it's part of the cost-cutting moves, you know, you're affording all these guys. Maybe you got to go cheap somewhere.
You got to go cheap kicker.
But, you know, it feels like you probably still could have brought back Robbie Gould. I don't know how much kickers make, but I can't imagine it's really hurting your salary cap that much. I really don't know. Nate, do you have any
I got some
sort of
info.
Yeah.
So I have the info on that rookie kicker question. Robbie Gould officially retired a few weeks ago, he's not – I don't think he's been on the
but
radar.
We heard some rumblings at the golf tournament in Tahoe, right? That he was upset
he didn't
about
want
the kicking
to.
Situation.
Yeah, but it was I think it was a financial thing.
Okay.
And I think it was an age thing because he turned 40, and it's just like, yeah, man, I don't know if this is where we want to be spending our money and investing in the future with Moody.
And it was about distance kicks too, right? Because Robbie's great from inside 50.
Another huge thing was Robbie was not doing kickoffs. Mitch Wishnowski was doing kickoffs. Sure. So that was an issue about place. They didn't feel comfortable with him being the kickoff guy, Mitch Wishnowski. So Jake now does it all.
Wow.
But I'd like to say, Alan, you asked about teams that have won the Super Bowl with a rookie kicker. I want to start off with the most recent one was not winning, but the Bengals, made
right?
it with Evan McPherson. He made all postseason tries, all 14. Wow. But then the Eagles in 2017, Jake Elliott was a rookie. 2012, unfortunately, Justin Tucker was a rookie. And then the farthest I'm going back here is Steven Gostkowski for the Patriots in 06.
So it's not uncommon. So,
yeah, it's not uncommon.
No, it's not the most crazy. It's not crazy.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy thing.
Well, how did were any of those games won? Well, yeah, so those guys all won, right? They're all Super Bowl winners.
I mean, those are all close games. Yeah. Like the 2017 game with the Eagles-Patriots was close the whole time. I know there was field goals in that. 2012, I remember that game, unfortunately. I wish I could black it out like the halftime was blacked out. Mm-hmm. But that game was obviously close. I remember at the end it came down to running out of the end zone for a safety for Baltimore. And then Gostkowski, I can't remember. 06, that must have been the Eagles too, right? Mm-hmm. No. Ooh.
06?
Patriots. See?
What's that?
No, Patriots Bears, right?
No.
06?
Steelers defeated the Seahawks in 06.
Okay. It says the 2006 Patriots trusted rookie Steven Gostkowski. So
there you go.
I might be wrong on that one then.
Maybe it's the 06, 07
thing. Yeah, okay.
Well, the bottom line is that it's not that unheard of. They feel comfortable. And like I said, you go in, you march down the field, mm-hmm. you get a touchdown, have them kick an extra point, and I think everything is all good. Your first kick is a 45-yard field goal because you stalled and the Packers were able to stop you, and he doinks that or double doinks mm-hmm. that. Now you got a problem, right? I think it's very much you see one go in, you shoot a three-pointer, you see one go in, and you're feeling good about it,
absolutely.
Right? Or free throw is probably – it's closer to a free throw than a three-pointer.
Sure.
But at least you get two tries in free throws. Right. So it's a very specific free throw.
Yeah, it's like a technical free
throw. It's like almost a technical free throw or a high-pressure free throw every time. Because mm-hmm. some free throws, I mean, De'Aaron's missing in the second quarter.
Sure,
what does De'Aaron always say? I make them when it counts. Well, we
sure doesn't. We detailed that yesterday.
What was it, 12 of 20?
12 of 20, 60%.
12 of 20 makes it when it counts. But even so, you're going to get multiple opportunities.
Yeah.
Moody, not so much. And again, ultimate team sport, we just did all this work to get to field goal range, and then just one random dude messes it up for us. So, hopefully it does not come back to bite them because they are so stacked everywhere else. When we get back, we played this game before, and we're going to play it again. Who is this or where is that texter from? I'm going to read a text that just came in. And we have to guess where they're from and or which team they root for. And Texter, if you feel like responding back, please do. But we're going to guess. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We have texts of the day. Who do they root for? Okay, I'm going to read this text. We have to figure out who they root for. Everybody, please chime in. Be a part of the conversation. So this text... the last time we did this, I think, was when somebody wanted me, and I'll never forget, this was one of my favorite, I think, situations, when somebody was trying to tell me to leave. I think we were still in our first month doing the show, and somebody said, hey, Styles, you need to leave Sacramento, and that text was from the 510.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite clips of the show.
Is that the South Bay?
The 510 is Oakland.
Oakland.
So it was hilarious to me. And I don't know if this one will trump it, but here we go. This is from the 209. Brock is the perfect example of a system QB. Two exclamation points. Why did he go 0-3 without his toys? Well, one of those games was because of Jake Moody. Mm-hmm. 5-6 question marks after that question. Look for them to crumble again, once again, in a big playoff game. That is from the 209. Brock is the perfect example of a system QB. Why did he go 0-3 without his toys? Look for them to crumble once again in a big playoff game.
Bitter Raiders fan.
Raiders. So we have two Raiders. We don't think, okay, is it, we're going Raiders?
That's Raiders.
Is that simple?
That sounds Raiders.
I'm saying 209, Niner hate, that strong, using system quarterback arguments.
Yeah.
Sounds like Raiders.
Could be Cowboys fan.
I was going to say,
could be Cowboys fan.
Could a lot be Cowboys, of Cowboys.
Cowboys.
And then, Chris, you said yesterday, sneaky Packers fans all over. There's like five teams. No.
No.
No?
Nah,
no,
bro.
Okay.
We don't. There's no Seahawks. They don't live in California.
Okay.
Come on.
So we have two Raiders. I'm going to say you're a Cowboys fan, 209. Please respond and let us know who you are a fan
could
of, 209.
Respectfully.
Yeah. Respectfully. Yeah. Rams? Can I get a Rams?
I don't think so.
They don't a Rams fan doesn't care enough.
There's
to text
one Rams fan, and his name's Scott Marsh, and he's downstairs. That's it.
Scott? Shout out, is Scott. That 209?
He talks the most trash. I don't
Does
get
he
it.
Really?
He'll talk trash to me, and I'm like, Scott,
chill. I love
chill.
That. Come on, Scott. I love it.
I mean, I love that because I've never met a Rams fan.
Yeah. I didn't think they existed. Yeah. I thought they moved to L.A. to get fans.
Yeah, but I think Scott was like he supported them even when they were insane. Like, I don't think it's a new thing.
No, it's
I don't
not.
Think it can be.
It is funny when he's wearing Niners gear, though, because he has to deal with the station. He's a salesperson here. So I'll see him wearing a Niners polo, and I'm like,
wow,
what's up with that, Scott?
I'm trying to remember when the Rams won the Super Bowl. I feel like that parade wasn't very lit.
No. In L.A., there's a million. They had to go watch Kim Kardashian go into a restaurant or something that night.
I don't care. Remember anything about it. I don't remember anything about that.
No drunk mishaps. Like the Denver Nuggets was way more memorable.
Yeah.
And they're probably a less identifiable sports franchise.
I mean, sometimes I forget that the Rams won it in 2022. I feel like so much has happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fluky because they were legit.
They were legit. Yeah.
And then they just went back away. Bye, Rams. All right, so 209. We're trying to figure out who you are. Bring in your guesses. Somebody said from the 916 they don't think that they're a Cowboys fan. All right, thank you 209 for that.
Real
live.
Quick on that Rams point though, they bought their team for 1 year. You know,
that's
they,
true.
They went heavy that 1 year. People forget they had OBJ that year,
right?
And
he tore his ACL
Bobby
in the Super
Wagner,
Bowl. So, yeah,
he's
Bobby
got a ring.
Jalen Ramsey.
I don't know if Wagner was there that year.
I think he came after for one year.
Yeah. Right? He left Seattle for 1 year. You might be right. Yeah. Anyways, they did
Andrew
a good
Whitworth
job.
As well.
Yeah.
And here's the thing: if you're the Rams, you won a Super. Everyone thought you'd be done because you didn't have any picks. If you look at it honestly, you won a Super Bowl, had a rough year after that, and you were back in the playoffs, and a lot of people were picking you to win on the road in Detroit, a team that hasn't won a playoff game since the early '90s.
Yep.
So. It doesn't seem like a bad deal to me.
Yeah, it's just Stafford's about done. It seems like Stafford's at his end here.
And at this, and now you, what assets
Rams
do you have to trade? You know, you just run out Stetson Bennett and you just call it a day and you keep this thing rolling.
They were lucky to nail the draft as well as they did too. I mean, to have pretty much to get Puka Nacua where they got him is, I mean, that's a ridiculous steal. And then to get Kieran Williams as well, who was. I mean, that dude might be their running back the next 4 or 5.
Tutu Atwell.
By the way.
Tutu Atwell, he's been there a couple of years.
Well, and yeah. By the way, okay, and Aaron Donald, every year it's, hey, are you retiring? So I don't know if that's going to come up again. By the way, I don't know if Emil Fragoso, our Sactown Sports 49ers insider, is here. And this isn't really coming down Emil's road as much as it's coming down Emil, or because he just gave me the information, or the Niners road. And maybe there's just a little bit of rivalry there. But the idea that Puka didn't deserve, right, to be in the Pro Bowl, and everybody said, you know, a lot of Niners felt, and Emil told us, a lot of Niners felt that Puka shouldn't have been, you know, because Brandon Ayuk got snubbed. It should have been Puka. For Puka to come out, I know it was in a losing effort, but to do what he did in the playoff game, I'm not really sure what the, besides just it being a rivalry, Puka's
that's
pretty
after,
legit.
That's after the fact, though.
What do you mean?
After the Pro Bowl voting and everything, like what?
But what's the argument that Puka wasn't a good play? Like, what
I'm
is,
not making that argument. I'm just saying your point is that is something that happened. Like Dak Prescott
is the point that he's not a stud. Right, is the point before. That he's not a stud. Yeah,
no,
what
is.
Were they mad about?
I think people are mad because they were waiting for Ayuk to do this. Mm-hmm. I think Nash fans have been waiting to see Ayuk bust out
sure.
like this, and then when he doesn't make the Pro Bowl, they're upset. So,
I'm looking at Nakua's stats for the season here. He's got 105 receptions, just about 1,500 yards, 6 touchdowns. I mean, he set the rookie receiving record the first 4 months. I think it was or 4 weeks of the season, the first month of the season.
Yeah.
I think he had the most receiving yards of any rookie ever. So, I mean, makes sense to me.
I mean, in what world can you try
came out of nowhere
to downplay a guy who, yeah, Cooper Kupp was out at the beginning of the season and that's where he broke out. But even after that, we were talking more about Puka than Cooper Kupp, who won the Triple Crown as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Don't get mad. It's two completely different.
They hate the Rams, too.
I get
they
it.
They really, really hate the Rams.
Don't be mad at Puka. Be mad. Just be mad at the fact they're not even mad. You're the one still playing and they're not. But they're just two different systems. Brandon Ayuk, you can't. It's not the voters' fault that Puka is in a better receiving system than Brandon Ayuk.
I feel like you're framing this as if it was said in the past day or so. This was like several weeks ago.
Not, I mean, was it though?
The Pro Bowl thing? This was at least 2 weeks ago. I mean, they're
okay,
not
well,
saying
they
it
played.
After they're already out of the playoffs.
No, but they just played.
This was week 18 and they were going to play each other. So I think
Nate, yeah. You had Debo say Bradbury's trash, and then the rest of the season it was, oh yeah, Bradbury is kind of trash. So if there's the same energy, okay, well, Puka, like I said, I don't know if the argument is that Puka wasn't good or if it's just Brandon Ayuk was bad. I just don't really know what they were upset
that's
about.
That's a huge part too, right? They feel like Ayuk should have got in over Puka, and that's kind of where the conversation.
Right.
Like, we don't know where to go from there because we don't know the reasons behind that.
And then if the Niners win on Saturday and Brandon Ayuk doesn't have a crazy game, it'd be, well, look at his system. Okay, well, yeah, well, that's why.
Yeah.
That's why he's done the pro. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I know. Yeah.
All right. Let's rank these QBs.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Who you want to start with, the AFC or NFC?
Do we just want to do a mix of it all? Let's just throw them all together.
Let's just
That's
throw them
I
all in a pile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there is a, funny enough, I do think there's a line of separation that's pretty clear anyway,
right.
But let's throw them together anyway and just do a top eight. I mean, do we want to do our individual list? Do we want to create show list?
Let's see if we can create a show list and
okay.
Let's see where we disagree.
Okay. Will I get the number one pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ride.
This is easy.
You fly, I buy.
Yeah.
We'll just do it like that.
Also, I have to set ground rules before we do anything. Are we doing this season? Are we doing the rest of this playoffs? What are we just saying?
Let's say right now.
Right now.
Okay.
Let's say who's hot hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Hot hand. There we go. That way, because like Patrick Mahomes is probably going to be the number one, but in a hot hand scenario, you might not say he's playing the best football of everybody right now.
I think I would.
I still probably will take Patrick Mahomes because I'm not going to be the guy who didn't take Patrick Mahomes number one. I think it's still, if you're picking, if we're drafting a team, like he's still going to be the guy that you're going to take for Sunday if we're doing daily fantasy football. But in real life, like I think you're still going to take Patrick Mahomes number one regardless of how well or poorly you think he's playing. I think that guy is definitely proven, especially in playoff situations. He can get it done, and I think it's not talked about enough how, you know, he got it done last week, and it wasn't, you know, Patrick Mahomes' masterclass, but he got it done last week in some terrible weather, so I'm still going to go Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not disagreeing with you there. We got Patty. I'm writing these down. We got Patty at number one.
Patty.
Okay, who do you got number two?
Do you want to take number two? That's what I was saying. Am I doing it all? Or are we
No,
doing...
no, no. Alan, take it.
Yeah, Alan, you take the second pick.
Yeah, number two, again, yeah, it's legacy versus this season. I know it doesn't always look great, and one guy has technically had more playoff success than the other, but it would be disrespectful, I feel like, to not take Lamar Jackson.
He's a guy. That's the right.
You have
hot
to
hand
Lamar
especially.
Jackson.
I mean, that's like he's balling so hard right now.
Chris?
I still have questions about Lamar in the playoffs, but I think with how he's playing right now leading into the playoffs, I definitely think it'd be tough to not give the guy who's probably going to win MVP. He's probably got to be number two, especially when you factor in Josh Allen's struggles.
To me, this is it, right? Well, this is it for Lamar in terms of, hey, man.
Prove it.
At what point are you going to make this thing pop in the postseason? Because his years are different to other quarterbacks' years because of how he plays.
Yeah.
So this is now, what, his third playoff run? Fourth playoff run?
Maybe his fourth, yeah.
And if you count injury last
If you lose to another team, because that Titans game, I believe that was at home a couple years ago when they got shocked by the Titans. So at what point are you going to get over this hump, or are you going to be the Clayton Kershaw of QBs to where you're baller in the regular season, but things are a little bit different? Does his gameplay not translate in the playoffs? I mean, this is it for me.
Dude, I'm looking at his playoff numbers right now. They say QB wins are not a stat. 1-3 in the playoffs, 55% completion percentage, 3 passing touchdowns, 5 interceptions for Lamar, 2 interceptions in his last two playoff seasons. It's been rough for him as a passer, and that's the thing is, you know, it's going to be a similar question with Brock for sure, but like if the Ravens go down a score, if they're down 10, can Lamar Jackson orchestrate a comeback is a legitimate question, and we haven't seen him do it yet, and so until he does it, I'm going to have to say I just don't see it happening, but I definitely think with how Lamar's played this season, number two. I'm going to go number three because we got to kind of run through this. Mm-hmm. I think I'm actually going to go C.J. Stroud here. Like I said, I feel like Josh Allen has not played well this season. You can maybe argue Brock can start to get into the conversation here, but C.J. Stroud, man, that dude is ridiculous. He's doing it all for his team, and I just am incredibly impressed with that dude.
I'm so anti-Josh Allen.
Yeah, I can't put C.J. over Josh. I know there are peaks and valleys with Josh, but he's been to an AFC Championship game. He was really counted out for a lot of this season.
Yeah, which AFC Championship game?
Or was that... Was that to go to the AFC?
He's been beat.
When he lost to Mahomes?
The 13 seconds.
That was to go?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because that, yeah.
Okay, well, he's dueled with the best before.
Yeah.
And it's we know, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Sure. He beat Lamar in 20.
Yeah. He beat Lamar, 17-3. So I think they're rolling right now. They get, and this isn't a game pick per se, but they do have another home game, and, you know, you got two of the top guys going up against each other, Josh and Patty Mahomes. Yeah, I see why you're picking C.J. Stroud, but again, they were playing with really no expectations. Everybody had the Browns picked. I feel like I got to go Josh, but it's close.
Very fair. So I guess we can just do C.J. I mean, again, I really feel like there was a line of AFC quarterbacks where clearly I'm taking all the other AFC quarterbacks, and I guess we'll just do the NFC quarterbacks on the other side.
We'll do the NFC quarterbacks on the other side.
Wasn't the intention.
Again, it's the dragon meme once again,
happening.
Besides Brock and some of these guys. All right, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.